Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to our app store and search RockC3 for our app. This week, in the first week of our new series called Chase the Whisper of the Wind, Pastor Josh explains how we can chase the whisper of the Holy Spirit by getting close, getting quiet, and getting ready. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Good, man. Great to see you guys. Packed house today. I think we brought chairs from like one of our other facilities. Isn't that incredible? You guys excited about that? Anyway, so I'm glad you're here today. If you're new with us, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors. And thank you, my sister or whoever was over there who did that for me. Beth, thank you. I appreciate it. She's the only one that appreciates me. I got front row people. Don't worry, you're okay. But anyway, I'm going to have a lot of fun today. I've got a lot to cover, and as soon as I'm done preaching here, I'm going to hop on a plane and head to Las Vegas and preach at our campus there tonight. So we got a lot to cover. But let me say this, that if you're here, which you are because you're looking at me, that you picked a great time to come, whether it's your guest or you've been coming all the time. I'm so thankful you're here, and it's just a great way for us to launch in to the new year and into this new series called Chase the Whisper of the Wind. Now, I've got to give some backstory on this for a second, because if you were here last year, you know we launched... I'm going to talk about digital disruption today, and that was a disruption. If you're here with us last year, we talked about this theme called Chase the Wind. And what that was about chasing the Holy Spirit. It was a series all about chasing the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the wind at times. And we said as a church and as individuals, we just wanted to chase the Holy Spirit. We wanted to chase God through 2019. And I'm thankful to be able to say in front of you that 2019 was a year like none other in the history of the Rock Church, okay? God did some amazing, amazing things last year. And I don't have time to go into all of them, but let me just say one of them is we set a goal, or at least I set a goal at the beginning of the year, to see 200 people take a step of baptism in the course of the year. We had never had 200 people in one year take that step, so I thought that's a big, lofty goal. And then one of our other pastors on staff, his name is Timmy, he said, well, I actually set a goal of 300. I was like, dude, I love the way you're dreaming. Well, as of last week, the last Sunday of the year, we saw 301 people take the step of baptism. Yeah, incredible, incredible. All right. Now, when I say that, let's make sure we understand a couple different ways on that. One, all glory goes to God. All right. It is God moving in the hearts of people. All right. So I'm so thankful that as we desired to chase God, God showed up and he said, I want to do some work. And he did work in 301 people's lives. All right. So all glory goes to him. But it does give testimony to what happens when we as individuals say, God, I just want to chase you, all right? And that's what I want us to do, is I want us to be a church that is about chasing after God. And as great as 2019 was, I believe 2020 is even going to be better, all right? I truly believe 2020 is going to be the best year in the history of our church. And God's got some things in store for us that I know he's going to do in us and through us that's going to be like none other before, all right? So one is I want to challenge you this way, that on January 24th and 25th, that's a Friday and a Saturday night, at 6:30, we're going to have a night of worship and vision here at our Conway location, all right? So it's the same, both nights will be the same, so I want you to go ahead and pull out your phone now, put it on your calendar and say, this is the night I'm going to, because there are some things that I want to let you know about. There's some things that as the leadership of the church, church that we feel like God wants to do in our church and in our people in 2020. And there's some stuff we're just going to lay out that night. So come, it'll be a great night of worship, and then a night where I can just share with some of the things that I believe God's going to do in the course of this year, which is going to propel us through the whole decade, all right? So make sure you're at that, all right? That's what Chasing the Wind is about. This series is going a step further. In this series, we're not just wanting to chase the wind, we're wanting to chase the whisper of the wind. We're wanting to chase the voice of God. That as we chase God, we want to hear what he has to say to each and every one of us. And this is what I believe, that if you have a little bit of faith, even a little bit of faith, that I believe you want to hear the voice of God. That I believe as people, as teenagers, we want to hear what God says. That we often say, I just want to know what God wants me to do in this situation. That we'll say things like, God, I want to hear from you right now. I want to know what your will is right now. That those are desires that we have. And so we want to hear God speak. Yet, I know many of us would say, well, I wonder if God does still speak. Well, like, you might want to hear his voice, but you question it and go, well, does he really even speak anymore? Because it doesn't seem like he speaks in the wild, wow type ways of the past. If you were here last week, we talked a lot about that. That we don't see him necessarily talking through a burning bush anymore, or writing on a wall, or a loud voice from heaven, or speaking through the mouth of a donkey, all right? That we don't necessarily always see. I'm sorry, I lost train of my thought for a second. Can I make a joke? As soon as I said, y'all don't see God speak through a donkey, I thought, y'all looking at me going, no. A couple of you got that. Sometimes as a pastor, it's hard because I'm real with you all. I need to get back on track. I'm so sorry. Anyway, we don't necessarily always see God speak in the way that he used to in the past. Yet he does still speak. He does still speak. I believe God can speak in a loud, audible voice. I believe God could speak through a burning bush. I believe that God could write on a wall. I believe that he could do that, yet he doesn't necessarily always choose to do it that way. I believe the way God chooses to speak now primarily is through the whisper. It's through the whisper of his Holy Spirit. It's through the whisper of the Spirit working through the Word of God. And what I want us to do is to chase that whisper. I want us to chase after God and to chase after his voice because he wants to speak to us. That we need to chase after his whisper. And I know you might say, okay, well, if I'm going to chase after the whisper of the wind, how do I actually hear him, all right? And I'm just going to make it as clear and as simple as I possibly can today, all right? If you're taking notes, it's a great time to take notes. Real simple. If you want to hear the whisper of the wind, then get close, get quiet, and get ready. It's that simple. That if you want to hear the whisper of the wind, if you want to hear God speak, then get close, get quiet, get ready, because he wants to get personal and get to work. And I could stop the message right there. I could just stop talking because that's really the whole message. Yet what I'd rather do is go to God's word, and I'd love to see how these three points get lived out inside of God's word. That if we will draw close, if we will get quiet, if we will get ready, then he will speak. That's what he'll do. Look at it in 1 Samuel. Now, let me give a backstory on Samuel. Samuel was a young boy at the time of this story. All right, we don't know exactly how old he was, but his mom had kind of dedicated him to the Lord. So when he became of age, he went to work at the temple. Basically, it's like boarding school. So he's there at the temple. He's serving the priest. He's serving God. And that's where this young man named Samuel's at when he first hears the whisper of the wind, the voice of God. Here's what it says. You can see it on the screen. It says, the boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread. Let me stop there for a second, all right? That basically they're saying in the Jewish culture at that time, God didn't speak very often, all right? Now, I think that's interesting because we as people will always go, well, why doesn't God speak like he did in the Old Testament? Yet the people in the Old Testament are saying, well, God wasn't speaking a lot. Why wasn't he speaking back then? Because they weren't close. They were the people of God, but they were not walking in a close relationship with God. And because they weren't walking in a close relationship with God, they were having a hard time hearing him speak. It wasn't that God wasn't speaking or didn't want to speak. It's that the people of God had moved away from God. They weren't walking in close fellowship with him anymore. And I really believe that we have that exact same problem right here in America. That in our culture today, as a world, one out of three people claim to be Christians. Yet, the majority of those people live south of the equator. I want you to think about this for a second. The majority of the people who claim Christ live south of the equator. They're in South America. They're in Africa. All right? In America, we have less than 20% of people who claim to walk with God, claim to have a relationship with God and a practice of that. So it makes sense why we would say, well, it doesn't seem like God speaks a whole lot anymore. And I think one of the reasons why is because we're not close to God. And what we need to do is we need to draw close to God like Samuel did. And you'll see it right here in the verse. It says this, before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. That he was laying next to the ark of God. Now, the ark of God, it would have been this ark where they kept the Ten Commandments and some manna and stuff like that in there. But that was where the presence of God resided. That in the Old Testament, it would say that the Spirit of God would hover over the ark of the covenant, the ark of God. So what Samuel was doing is he was laying down next to the ark of God. So he had come into the presence of God. He got close. Now, here's the good news. You've already taken that step. Right now, you are here, and so is the Holy Spirit, and so is God, that he is in this room with us right now, that he is present. So just by taking the step of God, all right? And that is something that we should applaud. It is something that we should be thankful for, because we do have a God who draws near to us, all right? And proof of God being here is the simple thing. We can go back to the 301 people who took steps of baptism. That when people take steps of baptism, what has happened is they've come in contact with God. You can look at the people who come in every week and while here make a decision to draw close into God, who make a decision to start walking out sobriety, who make a decision to start repairing their marriage, who make a decision to start walking towards the Lord and praying to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. So the fact that you are here, you are putting yourself in the presence of God. That's what you're doing, all right? So one, good job. Good job. And as a rock, I want to challenge you this way. Make sure it's not just the beginning of the year thing. Make sure it's not, well, it's the first Sunday of the year, I need to go to church. Make sure it's not one of those things where you say, well, yeah, I'll just do it every now and then. No, make a weekly habit of this. And we try to make it as easy as possible for you. Between Thursday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, online campuses, we make it easy for you to draw in. So make sure you make it a habit because you want to be in the presence of God. Yet, I would say this. As great as this is, if this is the only time you are getting close to God, then you are missing 167 hours a week to get close to God. That this can't be it. That this can't be all that you do. All right, service here lasts about an hour, which means you have 167 other hours a week to get close to God. And so my challenge would be is to make sure you're setting up a time every day to get close to him. Because that's when you're really going to start to hear him speak. For me, it's every morning I sit down with my Bible and I get close to God and I say, God, I want to hear you whisper. Because I know that he whispers the most through his word. So I draw in, and I want to challenge you to do that as well. But to do that, you don't just need to get close, you also need to get quiet. Get quiet. Question, raise your hand if you agree with me, that we live in a noisy, busy world. Yeah, you're all with me. That's just the way life is, that we live in a noisy, busy world. world, all right? And we're constantly disrupted by things. We're disrupted by our phones. We're disrupted by our watches. We're disrupted by our iPads. We're disrupted by the internet, by our Netflix, by our Disney Plus, that we have all this digital disruption around us, all right? Now, I love digital things. I love the world that we live in. Yet, I know that if I'm going to get close to God, I also have to get quiet with God. Because if I don't get quiet, then what really happens is even when I try to get close to God, I have all this noise in my life. I have my phone going off. I have notifications coming in. I've got the internet. I've got the entertainment that I've watched. I've got all of it inside of my head. Or maybe I try to get away with God and things pop up on my phone. So what I want to challenge you to do is get quiet. And that's what you'll see Samuel did. He was lying down. He was resting. He was getting away, and he was getting quiet. And I want to give you a challenge that as you go into this year, if you want to hear the whisper of the wind, then don't just get close to God, but get quiet with God. And figure out some ways that every day in your life, you can have some moments of silence. Maybe that's why you're driving to work that you actually turn off the radio. And maybe that's before you go to bed at night, just saying, I'm just going to sit and I'm just going to think. I'm actually going to turn off the phone. I'm going to turn off the TV and I'm going to go to bed in some silence. Maybe it's in the morning. It's just saying, I'm just going to have a little bit of quiet. Maybe before you walk into that class or before you go into work, when you park your car, maybe just pausing for a minute and saying, I just want to sit in silence. God, I want to hear from you. I want to get ready for the day that you've got in store for me. I know for me personally that I've made a decision this year that I'm going to have 50 days where I'm going to kind of call them days of prayer, days where I'm going to get quiet in some way. Now, every day I'm going to spend time with God, but 50 different days I'm scheduling into my life to cut out some of the disruption and some of the noise in different ways. I'll talk to you about that maybe more some other time. But that's something that I'm personally doing because I know if I want to hear God, I've got to get close and I've got to get quiet. But it goes one step further than that. If you want to hear the whisper of the wind, you do have to get close. You do have to get quiet, but you also have to get ready. You have to expect to hear from God. Look at this next part of the story. It says this. Then, right, remember, so Samuel's lying down next to the Ark of the Covenant, that he's resting, he's quiet. It says, then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I didn't call, Eli replied. Go back and lie down. So he went and he lay down. Just to make sure you understand what's going on in the text here. It says that Samuel heard a voice and he said, well, here I am. And he thought that voice was from Eli, his master, Eli, the guy who was his mentor, the priest. So he runs to Eli and he's like, Eli, you called for me, right? And Eli's like, man, I didn't call from you. I can imagine Samuel running in, seeing this old dude asleep. And he's like Eli, what do you want? And he's like, I'll tell you what I want. I want to go to sleep. Why are you bothering me? Right? Like that's kind of the moment it's happening. And then Eli says, Samuel, go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. And then the exact same thing happens again for a second time. I could just read the text again because that's exactly what the text says. Happens again for the second time. And then a third time, it says it like this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for a third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, here I am. You called me. So for a third time now, Samuel's back in front of Eli. He wasn't ready to hear from God. So when he was hearing a voice, he assumed it meant that he needed to go serve somebody else. Now I want you to catch this because this is really important in our spiritual walk. That Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. So when he heard a voice, he went and he served someone else. And how often in life do we not recognize the voice of God, so we go and we serve someone else, and that person we serve is typically ourselves? See what I'm getting at there? That if we don't recognize the voice of God, we go and serve ourselves. If we don't recognize the voice of God, we go and serve somebody else. We go and serve some enemy of ours. And when I say enemy, I mean the evil one, Satan. That maybe he starts speaking and he starts saying, maybe you should go do this. And you go and do that because you didn't recognize the voice of God. We've got to get ready and recognize the voice of God. Now, I love what it says here. It says, then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. Finally, after the third time, Eli's like, oh, I get it. God's calling you. But look what Eli says to him. Real simple. He told Samuel, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want you to think about this practically, because I think sometimes we just read the word and we don't even think about it. Imagine as a parent, have you ever had a child come in the middle of the night, say, Mommy, Daddy, I heard something in my bedroom. Mommy, Daddy, there's a boogeyman in my closet. Mommy, Daddy, there's voices coming from him. Anybody ever had that happen? If that happens, just next time it happens, try this. Just look at him and say, just go back to bed and ask the voice to speak to you again. Yeah, how well is that going to work, right? Like, if I'm Samuel and Eli says it, I'm like, no way. Scoot over. I'm spooning, right? Like I'm just coming in because I'm not going where the voice is coming from. But Eli's like, no, it's the Lord. The Lord wants to talk to you. So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And now he was ready. He was ready to hear from the Lord. You've got to get ready because God wants to speak, because God wants to get personal. Look at the next part of the verse. The Lord came, he stood there, and he called as before, Samuel, Samuel. Look at what God did. For a fourth time in one night, he repeated the exact same phrase, Samuel, Samuel. He called him by name because he wanted to get personal with Samuel. If you go back to verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but God knew Samuel. Samuel didn't know God, but God knew Samuel's name. And here's what I believe. There's some of you that are here today, and you don't know the Lord yet, but the Lord knows you. He knows you. You might not know the Lord, but the Lord knows you, and he wants to get personal with you. He wants to get on a one-on-one relationship with you, that he wants to be your God. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your master. He wants to be in a one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with you. That's the kind of God we serve, and that's the kind of God who wants to communicate. He says, I want to get personal because I want to get to work. I want to get to work in your life. I want to get to work through your life. And that's the same thing that God said to Samuel would be the same thing that I believe he would say to us. Now, there's a lot of other things he's going to say to us, and we'll talk about those in the next three weeks and the next weekends of this series. But today, just hear it this way. He wants to speak your name. Because he wants to get personal with you. And he wants to get to work in your life and through your life. And our response should be the same as Samuel's. Samuel simply responded, speak, for your servant is listening. Your servant. If you go to the Hebrew, the language that was originally written in, it could mean servant, it could mean worker, or it could mean slave. That your servant is listening, your worker is listening, your slave is listening. And not the kind of slave who is taken into captivity against their own will. No, the type of slave who says, I want to work for you because you are my master. Are you in that kind of position with God? See, I think too many times we want to hear God speak because we want to treat him like a genie in the bottle. Right? Like we want God to like rub the lamp and genie come out and I got three wishes. This is what I need for you to do. And that's what I hope your will is for my life. What would it look like, though, if we got into a communication with God and it wasn't about him fulfilling our wishes, but us doing his will? That's what listening to the voice of God is like. When you get into that position where you say, I'm willing to be your servant, then God gets real personal, which is a beautiful thing. And that's what I want for you, and that's what I want for me, and that's what I want for our church this year, is for us to listen and to chase after the whisper of the wind. Because God does still speak. I don't think the question, when we ask, does God still speak, I don't think that's the right question. I think the right question is, are you in a position to hear him? I think that's the right question. Am I in the right position to hear what it is that he has to say? Well, how do you get in that position? You get close, you get quiet, and you get ready. So that's what I want us to do right now. Is I want us just to get into that kind of position where each and every one of us would say, I want to be your servant. And I know that there's some of you here today that you haven't even surrendered your life to Christ yet. But maybe today is the day that you'll hear him calling and you'll be willing to respond, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's what I want for all of us, but to do that, we got to get in the right position. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into a respond time, but we're going to do it a little different than we normally do. Rather than standing up, we're going to just sit down. We're going to get close. We're going to get quiet for a second. We're not going to sing. We're just going to let him talk. And we're just going to get ready. Because if I believe that the Holy Spirit is here, then I believe that he's got a message for each and every one of us, if we're willing to listen. But to do that, we got to get close. We got to get quiet. And we got to get ready. So we're just going to sit for maybe 90 seconds, 2 minutes. We're just going to kind of sit in some silence. And during this time, I know this might be different for you. It might be new for you. Maybe you've never done anything like this. I just encourage you just to sit still. Put your Bible down. Put your phone down. And just sit. And if you're one of those people who's like, well, I got to do something, then just say this over and over in your head. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's all you got to say. You don't even have to say that. You just sit quiet. But if you need to say something, then just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Just say that over in your head. And I don't know if God's going to communicate anything right now. But I know he can. I believe he will with some of us. But I think it starts by us learning how to put ourselves in this position. So let's just get close and get quiet and get ready for a few minutes. Thank you. live in a noisy, noisy world. And oftentimes, because of the noise, we don't get ready to hear God. So my challenge as your pastor is going to be this year for us to spend more time getting quiet so that we can hear the whisper of the wind. And you're going to see this lived out in our church, because I believe if we're going to encourage you to do something as an individual, we need to model it as a church. And so you're going to see times like this become more normal even in our service, because we want times of quiet where you can really connect with God. You can respond to God. It's one of the reasons why we do the response time the way we do every week, is because I believe during this time of response that God does speak. That I believe while I'm preaching, oftentimes there's many different conversations going on between you and God. That I might say one little thing, but then you and the Holy Spirit, you start having a long conversation about that while I'm over here talking about something else. And that's good. I would much rather you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit than my voice. That's what happens when we open up God's word and allow it to be communicated to us as a whole. Yet the response time that we do now is where we respond to what it is that we heard the Holy Spirit speaking. That's why we do communion every week, so that we can come up and we can spend some time responding to God, getting quiet with him and thanking him for dying on the cross for us. And maybe you've never taken communion in your life, maybe because you've never responded to Christ's free gift of grace. Well, today could be that day. You could come and take communion and say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Now I want to live for you as my servant. When you start doing that, I'm telling you, God will start to do work in you and God will start doing work through you. Maybe what you need to do during this response time is go to the Connect Corner. We have that since the first day we moved in here. We've had the Connect Corner where people could go and they could talk with somebody and they could get prayed over and ask questions, whatever it is. That's there. It's always there. And there's always prayer people there that would love to talk to you. But there's other corners that we connect with in this room as well. That's a Connect Corner over there. It's one of our prayer corners where people go and they just spend time praying. And we've added an element to our prayer corner with some candles. And that's born out of the series that we did last month about the idea of Jesus being the light of the world who brings hope and joy and peace and love. And maybe what you want to do is you just need to go and get quiet with the Lord and spend some time praying. And I want you to know that area is always available. And there's candles there now. If you want to light a candle and it just as an act of prayer. Now, there's nothing magical about lighting a candle as an act of prayer. Yet there is something significant about going and saying, I'm going to take this before the Father. And maybe while you're there, just in quiet, he'll speak to you. We'll have prayer counselors over there. They're there all the time. They won't bother you, but if you need somebody to pray with you, they're there. Or maybe it's in a response through baptism, that's another Connect Corner there that you could respond through baptism. We have Connect Corners all throughout this auditorium, because what I believe is that God speaks. I believe the wind whispers. And when that happens, we need to respond in an appropriate manner. Sometimes that's just by throwing our hands up in the air and worshiping. That's an appropriate manner. But I want us to respond in a way that's fitting to what it is we've discovered. And we're going to chase the whisper of the wind all month, really all year. But let's start by responding to the Holy Spirit and to God. Won't you do me a favor? Let's stand up. And let's continue our time of response. Jesus, I come before you just asking you to continue to speak. That God, I believe that you can and you will. Jesus, thank you for drawing close to us by coming to this earth and living and dying and rising from the dead so that we could have life. And Jesus, I pray during this time that we would open our ears, we'd open our mind, we'd open our heart to what it is that you want to say. Speak, for we are listening. In your name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.